Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to study Proverbs chapter 14, 22. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 22 says, "Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good." To devise is to conceive or to imagine a thing, to plan something or to bring about something. So here in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 22, when he says, "Do they not err that devise evil?" That's a person who's plotting something bad. "But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good." That's somebody that's thinking about doing something good. So a man that devises evil is a man who's cooking up something bad. And there are a variety of things that we can see in the Bible that were devised, that were bad before they were carried out. For instance, a man could be thinking about a way to steal a young woman's virginity, like Amnon did to Tamar in 2 Samuel chapter 13. When you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 13, you see this episode, this forcing of Tamar, this rape, was premeditated. It was devised. 2 Samuel 13, Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her, but Amnon had a friend. His first cousin, Jonadab, helped him cook up a scheme. And then Amnon followed through with the scheme, and he took Tamar's virginity. A man who devises evil is a man who could be plotting another man's death, just like Saul plotted time and time again against David, cooked up schemes. You know, he said, "Oh, yeah, he wants to marry my daughter, Michael. Oh, well, this is wonderful. I've got a scheme." And the scheme is, "I'll make him deliver me 100 foreskins of the Philistines." What was he thinking? Well, he was thinking that David would die trying to kill that many men. David doubled the toll and brought in 200. But Saul wanted David dead. He came after Saul when after David, when David was asleep. He came after David when David was running from him. He had this plot. He devised the death of David. Didn't succeed, but that's what he was thinking about. The Pharisees devised the death of Jesus Christ. They plotted that. And by John chapter 7, it was already known to people publicly that the Pharisees wanted Jesus dead. Oh, a man that devises evil could be devising a way to steal. When you read in Proverbs chapter 1, in Proverbs chapter 1, you read this. Beginning with verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse, my son. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." You see, there's a plan here. And the plan is to steal something from somebody, even if it means having to kill them to get it. To devise evil against somebody could be like the plan that Rebecca had to deceive Isaac so that her son, her favorite son, Jacob, could get the blessing. You read about that in Genesis chapter 27, verses 6 through 12. And in that particular passage, Jacob doesn't want to go along with his mother's plan because he said, if I do that, I'm going to seem to him, that is to his father, to Isaac, as a deceiver. See that? These are examples in the Bible of people that have devised evil, who were cooking up something bad. And in Proverbs chapter 12, and when we read about this, I mean, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 22, when we read about this, do they not err that devise evil? Men who devise evil err. Well, what does err mean? You know, it's interesting. People say, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. You know, it'd help you to get a dictionary and look these things up. You can get one of those on your iPhone. I've downloaded a Merriam-Webster dictionary on my iPhone. It's an app. I look up any word. You say, well, I know what to err means. I know what it means to devise something. But you know what? It helps you to really understand what he's saying if you aren't absolutely sure what the word means. You know what it means to err? It means to mess up. It means to violate an accepted standard of conduct. It means to sin. So go back over these cases that we have looked at here in the Bible. You know what? Amnon messed up. He erred. Amnon's evil, that is, stealing Tamar's virginity, turned out 2 years later to be the cause of his own death. 2 years after forcing Tamar, Absalom, with the other sons of David, was invited to a sheep shearing that Absalom was conducting. And while he was there, Absalom had given instructions that Amnon should be killed, and he was killed. Absalom had Amnon killed. You know what? Amnon messed up. He erred. Listen, Saul's evil in trying to kill David was one of the reasons that he lost his throne and eventually his life. The Pharisees' evil in condemning Jesus Christ led to the destruction of Jerusalem and to the damnation of their own souls unless they repented. The thieves in Proverbs 1, you know, we just read about their scheme to steal things from people, even if they had to kill the people they were stealing from. You know what they don't realize? They don't realize that they are laying wait for their own blood. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 16, 17, and 18, Solomon goes on to say, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they, speaking of these guys that have devised evil, lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. You know what he's saying? He's saying they were scheming up how they could kill people to steal their possessions. He said they don't realize they're going to die. They're going to die for doing it. That's the error. Rebecca didn't realize that after the deception that she plotted, the plan she came up with, you know, which was for Jacob, since he couldn't get venison, to kill some of these young goats and then put the skins on his body to pretend to be Esau and dress in Esau's clothing, that plan that she cooked up, she didn't realize that Esau would want to kill Jacob and that after sending Jacob away, she would never get to see her son again. Do you realize that Rebekah died before Jacob returned from serving Laban 20 years? She erred. And that's what happens. Do they not err that devise evil? Yes, they do. In other words, the plan backfires. There is a catch that they don't consider when they devise the evil. And they don't realize, oh, this could cost me. When you devise evil, you err. So don't plan evil things and don't follow through on evil thoughts that just pop up into your head. Why? Because you'll mess up. If you're a young man and you've been devising some evil against another person, how you could take advantage of them, how you could deceive them, how you could, in the case of these a young woman, steal her virginity, just forget your plans. Because when you devise evil, you err. And it always happens that way. But Solomon just doesn't give us this negative proverb. He says, do they not err that devise evil? Of course they do. And we need to recognize that. We need to count on that. We need to dispel these evil thoughts so that we don't follow through on them. But he goes on to say, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Well, then, a man that devises good is a man that's planning to do something good. That's what he's doing. He's cooking up a scheme to help somebody. He's thinking about a way to do something good. And these thoughts are usually about ways to be a blessing to somebody else or ways to please the Lord. And you should fill your mind and you should fill your thoughts with these kinds of things rather than the other. You ought to be thinking about good things. You ought to be devising good instead of devising evil. Figure out a way to be a blessing to somebody, because the end result of that is mercy and truth. The end result of devising evil is error, and that's got bad consequences. You see, when you devise good, according to Proverbs 14:22, God gives you mercy and truth. And I don't know about you, but I think I know. You and I need as much mercy and truth as God will give us. You can never, have enough mercy and truth. I mean, if the Bible is truth, I want all that I can get. And God's mercy, I need and want all that I can get. That's why he said to us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need that. Now, several times in the Old Testament, I think it's 10 actually, in the Old Testament, you are going to find the expression mercy and truth. In other words, those two words coupled together, mercy and truth. In Proverbs alone, Solomon says these things. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. He says that in Proverbs 3:3. He says in our text, Proverbs 14:22, mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. He says in Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And then he says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Now, it's the combination of mercy and truth that's such a blessing. And I believe that one of the reasons the combination of mercy and truth is such a blessing is that in the truth, we have it nailed down in God's words so we can count on the mercy. In other words, God's going to be merciful to whom God wants to be merciful, and he will harden whom he will harden. We read that in Romans. But here, when he says mercy and truth, it's like, okay, well, I can count on his mercy here because I have it in his truth. You see that? Truth is the word of God. Jesus said, thy word is truth. He said that in John 17:17. In his word, God has given us things. He's given us covenants. You and I are saved by a covenant that God made with Israel, that he would remember their sins and iniquities no more. And so when you and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior in the New Testament, we got in on that covenant, a piece of that covenant that God made with Israel. Salvation is of the Jews. We become fellow heirs with them. We become part of the household of God under that covenant that God will eventually fulfill with Israel. We get in on that. That was a covenant that God gave, and we get a piece of it. In his word, God has given us covenants, promises, prophecies, admonitions, and judgments. And when you read those things, you can count on what God said when you're doing good. You see, you can count on the truth of what God said when those promises apply to you when you're doing good. And we can count on God's mercy as well when we're doing good. Proverbs 11:17 says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. In other words, when you extend mercy to somebody else, not only are they benefiting from the mercy that you extended them, you're doing yourself some good. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. That is, God is merciful to the merciful. So let's look at some examples. I mean, we saw some examples of people that devised evil and how they erred and what the consequences were to them personally. Let's look at some biblical examples of some people who did good, and let's see the mercy and truth that were the end result of their good works. And a great example, particularly concerning salvation, is Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, when we start reading about Cornelius, we find out right away in verse 2, he's a devout man. He's one that feared God with all his house. He's one which gave much alms to the people. And he's one that prayed to God always. Those are four great things about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 2. Then in Acts chapter 10, verse 22, there are some people that are speaking about Cornelius, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, that's good, and one that feareth God, we knew that, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. That's also good. So a man of good report, a just man, a man that was devout, a man that feared God, a man that gave much alms, a man that prayed to God always. Let me tell you something. That's a man, in case you're wondering, that's a man that devised good. And I mean, he was, Peter said in Acts chapter 10, verse 35, that he worketh righteousness. Peter learned something in a vision that he received from God, and then in beholding Cornelius, in every nation he realized, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So he testifies of Cornelius, this is a man that worketh righteousness. He was devising good. Do you know what God extended him? I mean, based on the proverb we're studying, Proverbs 14:22, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. God extended mercy and truth to Cornelius. In other words, when God saw what Cornelius was doing, you know what he did? He sent Peter to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he preached to Cornelius and to his household the gospel, that's the truth, of Jesus Christ. He's the truth. God extended truth to him in Acts chapter 10, verses 36 to 43. And he also extended Cornelius mercy, which saved him when Cornelius believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Right there, Cornelius and his household believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the evidence to Peter, who is a Jew, is that Cornelius is now speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word in verse 44. It was evident then, and in Peter's testimony to the Jews who asked him about this episode in Acts chapter 11, he said, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? He's testifying that Cornelius believed the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore received the gift of God. So a man who comes to God by doing, in other words, he wants to be saved, but he doesn't know any more than just to work righteousness, God's going to get the gospel to him. According to Romans chapter 2, God has an obligation to that man to show him eternal life when he is working righteousness. That's the goodness of God. God will render to every man according to his deeds, according to Romans chapter 2, verse 6, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. And so you'll find people who are living godly lives, and God will send somebody to them to give them the truth, and they'll receive Jesus Christ and be saved. So when you walk in God's truth and abide in His words, His mercy is there for you. But I'll say this, a man who comes to God for salvation on his own terms is a man who's devising evil. And you know what? He's not going to receive mercy. Why? Because he errs. The Sadducees tried to trick Jesus Christ, you know, with the questioning stuff that took place in Matthew chapter 22. And you know what Jesus told the Sadducees? You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Well, they were doing good, but they were doing it on their own terms, not on God's terms. And they didn't understand the truth. Now, he explained the truth to them. And if anybody there then walked and said, okay, hey, wait a minute, I've just heard something I didn't realize, I'm going to go in the truth, God would extend him mercy. Very, very interesting about all that. So we see in salvation how this is so true. Here's a man who is doing good, devising good, and God gets the gospel to him and extends him mercy when he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the truth. Fabulous, fabulous. Here, let me give you another example. According to our text, Proverbs 14:22, by mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here's a woman who lived her life doing good things for people in the church, for God's people. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And now what happens is she becomes a widow. Her husband dies. And you know what God says? I'm going to extend her mercy. And here's the truth. Here's the promise that I'm going to give her. She is going to be helped by the church. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for good works. See, devising good. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. You know what? She gets to be taken care of by the church. And she has that. It's in writing. God wrote this down to her. Now she can say, I have the truth. I know that I'm going to receive the mercy of God. Let me tell you something. That mercy and that truth are there for her. When I think about that widow who gave two mites, you know, I've heard people say, oh, well, that was the last of her living, so she just went off and died. I don't think so. You know what I think happened? I believe she gave all of her living to the Lord like that, and you know what the Lord did? Mercy and truth. That's what I think. I mean, eventually she died. We all do. Mercy and truth. You can be sure the Lord took care of that widow. Why? Because she devised good, and God gave her mercy and truth. That's what Solomon said he would do. In Titus chapter 3, verse 8, you know what you and I are instructed to do? In Titus chapter 3, verse 8, you and I, well, actually five times in Titus, but I want to just read this one verse. We are instructed to good works. That's what we are instructed to do, to maintain good works. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You see that right there? So we are to be careful to maintain good works. That's what Paul said. That's what Timothy was supposed to preach. That's what I'm preaching right now. And Paul goes on to say, these things, these good works, are good and profitable unto men. Do you know what? These good works are good for the person who's the recipient. You can believe that. If you do something good for somebody, of course that's a blessing to them. Of course it's good and profitable to them. But they are also good and profitable for the person who does the good works. Why? Because you and I, when we do good works for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Paul wrote here, we can count on the truth and mercy of God to help us in our time of need. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'll show you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and look at verses 17, 18, and 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Why? Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. In other words, when you are a blessing to somebody else, you're a blessing to yourself. When you devise good for the benefit of somebody else, mercy and truth are yours. And one of those truths is God will be there for you since you were there for somebody else. So when you're thinking about things, let's bring this message from Proverbs 14:22 to a close. When you're thinking about things, run from thoughts of evil. I mean, if something is cooking up in your mind right now and you're trying to figure out a way to make this scheme happen, forget about it. Don't devise anything evil. Just get that away from your mind as quickly as you and as far away as you possibly can. Why? Because your plans are going to blow up in your face in due time. Do they not err that devise evil? Yes. It is an error to do that. You will mess up. It will come back to haunt you. Leave it alone. Don't go there. Rather, devise things that are good. Mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. That's what you need to do. Devise things that are good. In other words, find ways to be a blessing to others. Find ways to be a pleasure to God. Ask the Lord, what can I do to please you? Look around. What can I do to be a blessing to somebody else? Why? These things will yield mercy and truth to you. Because you can look at the Word of God and say, God said He'd do it, and He will do it. He will do it. I believe that's one of the ways we can come boldly under the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Is we say, look, right here we see it, and we're not being rude to God. We need mercy, and we're thankful for His truth. So devise good, and you will be blessed with mercy and with truth, and may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.